Happy New Year! The Gaming Council is back for a brand new year and a brand new episode, episode 43. I'm joined with the homie Mikey B.
2021 is here. Hallelujah.
21. I kept saying that the whole time, like during New Year.
Yeah, takes a while to get used to the New Year.
Listening to some 21 Savage. Alrighty, so brand new year and same old traditions. You know, we're going to keep it with what we've been playing. Mikey B, you want to start us off?
Certainly. A few games of note to talk about. First game is if you are a Nintendo Switch owner and you own Switch Online from December 30th to January 5th, you are able to play the full version of Crash Nitro Kart Team Racing. You could download it, play as much as you want, beat the game if you could in 7 days, give it a whirl. So I played that for a bit, and if I could get some sad music sound effects there, Josh.
Oh, no.
Very good.
Oh, we'll just do a quick oh, no. Oh, no.
Yeah, this game is not very – well, it's not my cup. It's not as good as Mario Kart. I don't want to, dog this game too bad because I know this game has, a lot of fan support because back in the day it came out for PlayStation 1, so PlayStation 1 and people seem to like it, but playing this game and then going back to Mario Kart is it's like buying the store brand versus buying Frosted Flakes is Tony Tiger does have some secrets, obviously. He knows what he's doing. When you buy that store brand, it's a little bit different.
And
that's what I felt like with Crash Team Racing. It's the same, it's a kart racing. Okay, let's focus on a few positives. I think it's kind of cool that it's an open world, semi-open world. When you get to the races, you have to go around this island. So that's kind of cool. An open world, you could be able to discover some things. I think it's cool that there's boss battles. So after you win three races, there's a boss battle, and that's kind of cool and unique. And graphically, it looked really good. Obviously, it was a PlayStation 1 game, so now new modern graphics makes it look really nice and looked even nice on my Switch, which was cool. But the problem is the problem is I never knew why I was winning a race or why I was losing a race. I never felt I got proper feedback to know why I was winning this race or why did I lose this race. When in Mario Kart or any racing, you kind of know when you're winning a race. Okay, I didn't mess up on that turn. I drifted properly across that other turn. I found a shortcut. I was able to defend myself against other players' weapons. There's some kind of information like I had a faster car or something. And I never felt that I ever got that feedback of why I won a race or why I didn't win a race. There was no difference to me. And that really threw me off. And that's why I was after about 45 minutes, I was it's cool that I'm glad this is free. Cause I like kart racing games a lot. So if this game really sold me, that's I might have made this a purchase, but it was cool to try out. And obviously if people who did try it out, give it a go. But yeah, it was definitely not the winner that I was hoping for. I was hoping that would be my next, kart racing fun game, but it was not meant to be, Josh.
Sounds like you don't like winning races, bro.
But I like to know there's a reason why I won. I had to feel I did something for it. Or there's a reason why I won or a reason why I lost. That was a problem. There was literally no distinction in the way I raced one way when I won or the same way if I got in fourth place. I never felt any differently.
Gotcha.
So this threw me off.
I didn't know that's not supposed to be a remake, is it?
That's a remake, remaster, whatever you want to call it, to the PlayStation 1 game.
Oh, I thought it was a whole brand new game.
It could be a brand new game. I'm not really sure that. I thought it was a remaster, remake type of thing. It has old levels and but plus new levels. I think it was a mix maybe of old and new levels maybe. But you always could Google search that to find out the answer.
True.
But yeah, this is really cool because in Europe and Japan, they've been doing this for quite a while, giving 7-day trials of non-Nintendo games. But this is the first time that in America and in North America they were able to do that. So I'm hoping that Nintendo of America does that again because paying $20 for a Switch Online is super cheap, no doubt about that. But be beyond like getting cloud saves and like every once in a while dipping back into some classic NES and Super Nintendo games, it definitely fails in comparison to what Xbox Gold gets you with, like, they give you 3 or 4 free games a month, and then definitely fails in comparison to what PlayStation Plus does, which is very similar, 3 or 4 free games. So it's good that it's a nice step in the right direction, Nintendo.
Yeah, but it's about been like what, 2-3 years since they went full online.
Yeah,
and, like, and this is stuff. So yep. Maybe, but you know, things can always look up.
Yes.
So.
Same positive, Josh. Same positive on my Nintendo.
I also liked how you like pretty much danced around the fact that the game is trash, and you're like, it's trash.
It's trash.
This is 100% authentic. So if you think the game's trash, you say the game is trash.
It just
wasn't.
I'll say it too.
Hot take: Tetris sucks. Tetris is trash.
And if you want to hear more about that, scroll down to an old Instagram story, and you'll get Josh's full story on why he thinks Tetris is trash.
Trash.
But let's move to something a little bit more positive.
Yeah. What else have you been playing?
Pathless is a game that's a PlayStation 5 exclusive, and somehow I was able to play it, Josh. Do I own a PlayStation 5?
Did you get a PlayStation 5?
I do not.
Dang. But I feel like I would have got a text or something.
Definitely. Yes, Josh. I would have texted you. I think we would have texted each other off mic if we both got one of the systems.
Yeah, or you've been doing a really good job at hiding it, or you just were just waiting for like the perfect moment. But yeah, how would you play it?
It's on Apple Arcade, Josh.
Oh, there you go.
Interesting. Yeah, so finally.
You're back in action?
Almost by default, because like for like $5 more, they gave me like Apple Arcade and Apple TV and like more cloud space.
Oh, you got like that bundle. I think I saw that.
And I was already paying like $10.99 for Apple Music. So for an extra $4, I'm like, okay.
Yeah, why not?
I heard Ted Lasso was good, so I'll give Ted Lasso a shot. Anyways, yeah. That's TV talk. Pathless is, yeah, so this is, I like this game quite a bit because after I feel like Apple Arcade tried to make games that feel console quality, and I never felt like any of them really hit the mark beyond that Grindstone is an incredible game that everybody should play, but I wouldn't say Grindstone is like a console game per se to me. It's a great game, but it definitely feels like, to me, it's like more of in that like mobile 30-minute, 45-minute type range versus like this is an in-depth experience. I want the big screen. I want the headphones. I want to like immerse myself into the world.
Yeah, it's Bejeweled pretty much.
But Grindstone's a great game. No shots at Grindstone. Probably
heavy,
one of the
heavy metal Bejeweled is what we'll call it.
Exactly. Grindstone is literally one of the best mobile games I've ever played. It's incredible. It's worth it. Anyways. We could talk about Grindstone for a bit, so we will not this time, but maybe for another episode. But Pathless really is the first time I felt like I was actually playing a console quality game. Does it help that it was on PlayStation 5? Probably, because it gives me the sense, it gives it like a nod of somebody else believing this game is worthy of being on a console, whereas like every other Apple Arcade game is kind of like stuck on Apple Arcade, which is cool and all, but this felt like a console game. It is a game that I believe it's, to me, it's a mix of two games. It's a mix of Journey, which is a PlayStation 3-4 game that a lot of people talk about and like, and I've liked myself, and with a little bit of Zelda, kind of Breath of the Wild, go anywhere, open world type experience. So story-wise, it's kind of similar, actually, because the world kind of got corrupted by the God Killer, and then you have to like kind of like cleanse the animals and the world from the God Killer. So it's kind of like, it's very similar. So when, you know, Calamity Ganon happened in Breath of the Wild, where Calamity Ganon kind of corrupted all the machines. In this one, all the like nature and animals have been corrupted by the God Killer. So you travel around the world looking, it's an open world, you travel around, you solve environmental puzzles, and then there are boss battles at the end. But I wouldn't say it's a very action-oriented game. It's definitely a game where you're just kind of like, that's an interesting landmark up ahead. That's a mountain. I want to see if I could climb that. And then you climb that and you get rewarded. So it definitely rewards exploration. And I have put about a good, I don't know, hour plus into the game. And it's Yeah, it's definitely good. It's definitely a good game. So if you own a PlayStation 5, I think it's worth it. And if you have Apple Arcade, it's definitely worth, you know, opening up the Apple Arcade app again and, you know, playing on your Mac, iMac, or Apple TV, whatever device you might play. So that was a nice surprise. So it's finally Apple Arcade came up with something that was really, truly console quality.
Yeah, I was surprised to see that they bundled that up. I wonder if, like, they saw, like, just a significant amount of, like, users fall off. And they're like, okay, let's try to get you back and bundle it all together.
It helped.
But, yeah, definitely. It seems like it. I wonder, like, if this is a trend. So you said it didn't have, like, console quality, obviously, because it's on the phone. But,
true. With,
like, this adventure story line feel, like, beefy enough for, like, the console, too, or...
Nice. This one did.
Yeah, so it's like the same thing you would assume. Well, we haven't played it, so.
Yeah, this one did. This one felt like the production value was really good. It's a really good looking game. The voice acting is good. The story is good. The way it feels and plays feels like a PlayStation or Xbox game. It doesn't feel like a game that, it doesn't feel like a discounted game that went to Apple Arcade. Because they have another game called Ocean Horde 2, which is like a poor man Zelda Breath of the Wild, and it kind of feels like, yeah, this is kind of a Zelda-ish game. It's not yeah. It's not top quality. This one, like, feels like, okay, I can imagine, like, this deserves being played out, like, on a big, nice television screen.
Yeah, that doesn't
feel like... Or a nice IMAX screen. It feels movie... It feels like the difference between, like, watching a good TV show and then, like, watching Avengers and, like, Endgame. Like, there's great TV shows and it's awesome watching them, but when you go see, like, Avengers Endgame, you're, like, in the theater... Got the popcorn, got the Adobe, you know, atmosphere sound. You're watching on a 4K screen. That's worthy of the $20 or $25 you're spending versus, hey, I'm just gonna chill on the couch and watch, you know, Mandalorian.
Yeah, I was gonna say this kind of sounds like a, you know, like a Monster Hunter on the consoles is awesome, but you also can play it on the Switch.
True.
Sort of deal. So it's like, yeah, it's the same game, but it's not like as powerful, but mm-hmm. you still get like the same thing out of it. That's cool, man. Are you going to keep playing it, or are you going to just give it a call it quits after, like, the hour?
I have it downloaded, so, like, I probably won't be my main game, but I'll dive back into it every once in a while just because it's so easy to dive back into and get, like, just because it's so, like, exploration-based and there's not really, like, a time objective or anything, so it's kind of, like, go at your own pace, your leisure. Cool. So it's kind of like a nice game that you could like play for bits, but then it's also a game that you could really invest yourself into the story and really play for a couple hours. So it's like a nice mix.
Nice,
that I
dude.
Think I would dive back in. And the game that I've always been playing and still continue to play because this game gets better and better week after week that I keep talking about it.
Force. I'm just kidding.
At one point I was on that Strike Force train with you, but then I knew it was too addictive, so I had to get off of it. I knew the addiction of Strike Force would be too strong for me to overcome at some point.
And look at me now.
So I had to get off of it before it became
too much.
Too much. I knew. Yeah. Well, but the game I'm talking about is Adventure Pals.
Oh, nice. You kept going?
I'm going to beat this game, Josh. This game gets better and better.
Yeah.
I've kind of hedged on, like, maybe going back to Pathless, but, you know, I'm 100% beating Avenger Fails League.
Nice.
This game gets better and better. The more levels you explore, the more world. This game is it's really good. It does everything I like. It does so many things I enjoy about video games. The platforming is rock solid. I like the action. The writing's really funny. I love the art style I like the art style of this game. I like the progression that my character makes. I like the little boosts and XP upgrades I get for my character. I like the new worlds. I like that every new world that I open feels different and looks different and has different challenges. And it's not just like swapping scenery. It's not like, oh, we're in the forest. Now we're in the desert. Now we're in the ice. Now we're in the water. Now we're in the lava. Like, it feels different. There's different enemies. There's different weapon types. The challenge gets progressively harder. This third boss battle was different than the first two boss battles. This is like the classic chasing platform boss battles where, like, you have super big monster and then you have to run away from him. Or while you're running away, you have to jump past all these different obstacles and such. So I like that every boss battle feels different. So it's never just, okay, classic, you know, three hit, and we're out, or five hits or whatever it might be, kind of like platforming. So this game always it's always involving and getting different, and it's the challenge that keeps on getting slightly more challenging at every world that I go to, which keeps me engaged. And yeah, it's a winner. This is a very underrated game, and it's definitely deserved to be played if you have a Switch or a PlayStation 4, or probably I think it's on for Xbox too. So Adventure Pals is a really good game.
Yeah, I can second that. I really enjoyed the game too. Except sad news is that I haven't jumped back into it since I brought it up. Sure. Which is very unfortunate, but yeah, I can second almost everything you've said, and everything can only go up based off of like what I played last. So, and plus I saw the trailer for it on YouTube, and it looked insane. Like everything I saw in there, like I haven't even seen yet. So,
yeah,
I can't wait to see hear when you beat it.
Getting close. I'm at like right. I think I'm at like the 60% mark. So only in a couple of weeks probably I'll be able to get it done. A quick tangent before we get to what you've been playing, what you have been playing. How often do you listen to music while you're playing a game?
Almost never.
Fascinating. There
might be a chance where, like, if I'm playing something like mindless, that I'll just put like a podcast on or something. But nah, I'll usually just play the game as is. Why, you play with music or what?
I do quite often.
Nice. Is it just like a thing to like help you focus on the game? Because it's like background noise and like you just zone in on the game and turn the music off sort of thing? Or
I just love the mixture of music and video games. It's like combining, it's just really just combining two things that I love and like so much. It's like peanut butter and jelly, and then like, hey man, I got some bacon. So if I throw peanut butter and jelly and bacon, it's not going to make the sandwich bad, is it?
I mean, that sounds fire. So, but like, see, the thing is, like, I get it.
It also depends on the game. It's not like every single game, but like when I'm playing like Adventure Pals, because it's like an action platforming game where like when the story is like I'm reading it anyways, because there's no voiceover, so it's just like me reading dialogue from like one my character to the next. So it's like it does. So I'm like I'm not missing out on anything, and like the music doesn't really change too much from like level to level, nor the music like indicates anything. It's not like when I hear like the music get faster, I'm like, oh man, somebody's gonna like I'm gonna get attacked or anything. So like for that game in particularly, and like Mario Kart obviously, is like the music is also pretty good, but like after like a while, like I know all the music. So like racing games is another genre where like I could probably you could probably play some music and not like lose the experience per se.
Yeah, I could see that. Legit, I don't know, man. Like, I want to be like fully submerged in the game, I guess.
I see.
Well, then some of them also like do have music in it. Like, for example, Grand Theft Auto. Like, you could
play music. True, yeah, that's great music.
But I'm trying to think of like my recent gaming, like adventures, and I don't think I've really found I could find a case to where like I was playing alone, you know, like I was playing. Well, here a perfect transition to kind of answer that and go forward with what I've been playing, like Call of Duty. I'm usually like with my friends online. Like I'll rarely play by myself. So that's just what I do with that. And then like either that or I'll do like a quick run to solo zombies, but I'll still just kind of focus to myself, or I'll have a podcast on during that, which I lied. I guess I do recently. Yes, but not with that. But then, like Mario, like Mario's got its own. When I opened up Mario, I knew I was going into like a nostalgic adventure. So I was like, let me hear all the sounds that I remember from back in the day. You know, like let me hear like the chain chomps. Let me hear the background music, or like the coins, or the way the camera moves and stuff. And I really enjoyed that. Or like even if we make it to like the second painting, it's like you're in the snow, like let me hear that stupid little penguin talk, or like that cool song that you hear when you're going down the slide, you know. Or even like when I was playing Hades, like it was just it just kept me so intrigued that the story was very interesting, and like even though that's a mindless game, it's not at the same time, you know what I mean? Like it's you're still trying to like battle and get out and do the same waves, but like just something about me just trying to focus, I guess.
Did you ever listen to music while playing games? Was that ever part of your like gaming repertoire, where like when you were a kid and like the PlayStation 1, PlayStation 2 days, have your anti-skip Walkman playing, listening to the Carter, listening to not the Carter 3, listen to Hard Knock Life Volume 2.
Listen to some Jay-Z or some Meth and Red, dude. Oh, man. Which
I don't want to play too loud on the boom off because of the curses, you know, I remember these days.
It just, oh, man, it just like, it just kind of brings me back. Because like some of like the underground hip hop was like what I would play video games to like back in the days. And like, you know, RIP, you know, MF Doom.
Yeah, that's a sad one.
Like, just like some of like those like very undergroundish tracks were some of the stuff that I would like listen to before. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But then like there was nothing that really was like, okay, I got to play video games with music. Unless like I was at the arcade or it was like forced. You know what I mean? Like,
gotcha.
That's the only time like, music would really come into play.
I see.
But, or like if I was at a friend's house and they do it, I'd just do it too. But
sure.
Never that's on my own.
Interesting.
Yeah, man. So that's pretty much, I guess that answers the question too with me too. So I've been playing Super Mario.
No, interesting. Yeah, because like video games and music is like all my video game memories, like music is like so intertwined with it. Like me playing Super Mario is intertwined with me listening to like Green Day Dookie. Like my first time me playing like Mario Kart 64 is intertwined with like 311. Like the Hard Knock Life. Jay-Z Hard Knock Life Volume 2 and 3 is like, I remember playing like NFL Blitz on like my 64. So like music is like so entwined to like things that I like, just like, it's just, it was always the combination to me.
I also just paused right there for you to keep going just so I can get an idea of what you were playing and what you were listening to kind of see like what's up. You're like, oh, Green Day and Mario, Jay-Z, NFL Blitz. And I was trying to see like, maybe Slayer and Zelda 64, you know what I mean? Like the Ocarina of Time or something. Or like just to see how like the progression of music would and the gaming would go.
Yeah, I was like, yeah, it was like NFL Blitz. It was also like WCW versus NWO Revenge Time. So it was like that was that.
But like those had songs in them too, so you just wouldn't listen to that. You just turned it down, or you just never really cared for,
I probably listened to it initially. But then, like, at some point, I was like, it was just, like I said, it's like combining peanut butter and jelly and bacon. It's just like combining, like, two things I like into one. It was just, I couldn't read. It's just, you know, just also think my gaming time was between, like, 9 and 10 before I went to sleep, before I, like, had to go to school. Mm-hmm. And then during that time, there was a radio station locally in Q101. Used to do their top 9 at 9.
Oh yeah, so you get the jams in.
So that was like 40 minutes of like it was just a great combination. Like, okay, I got to play video games for 40 minutes before I got to go to bed and listen to all the jams, and it just always mixed.
That's awesome, dude.
That's tight. At that time when I was playing video games, it was like sports games, racing game, fighting game, wrestling games. It's like not and like platforming games, and none of those games I would say had a story. So like if I'm playing like GoldenEye, I'm not like, oh, interesting. It's like, oh, I'm just like, I'm like just like playing the mission, or like
it's like a quick sesh. Sesh, you know, it's nothing that's gonna really progress your story forward. And
no, so if I'm playing like, if I'm trying to get like first place in like a Gran Turismo 3, I'm not like so it was like the games I was playing at the time were so like sports and racing and like action sports based that like plot and story and character progressions wasn't very important to me at the time. And so that only became a recent development once I've matured as a gamer, where I started to think, oh, video games can be more than just like sports racing.
I think I should do that tonight and just do a quick sesh and maybe bump some music or something and play some Grand Theft Auto, you know?
To me, it always enhanced my enjoyment of a game. Music and anyways. But anyways, let's go and see what you've been playing.
Well, that was pretty much about it. Like there wasn't really kind of like blended in. So it was like Mario, I played Hades.
Yeah.
Call of Duty, some zombies. Strike Force, obviously, you know the vibes. You know what's on the gang. And that's about it. I don't think I played anything else. I'm trying to think besides Super Mario was like the latest thing.
How many days on Strike Force?
What was it? Grand Theft Auto, by the way.
What's the strike? Oh, Grand Theft Auto. What's the strike force count? How many days in counting? 600, 700?
Yeah, right, dude.
No more way. More or less.
All right. Well, luckily I have my trusty phone by me, so I will give you an exact answer if this loads.
Is that the new Apple iPhone 12 Pro Max?
No.
Tell us about it, Josh. Maybe you get an Apple spot. Maybe Apple will throw you some cash.
Yeah, right, dude. There's other podcasts that are like banging the head fucking at Apple. Fuck. There's no podcast that I know has a sponsorship by Apple. Maybe we'll get like Manscaped or something or like some CBD product. But the number is 565 days.
Wow.
That's how many days I've been playing Strike Force, nice. Which means I am close to getting another achievement for days played. So, you know the vibes.
Very nice.
So that's some of the games that we've been playing. I've been playing. Let's move forward into some 2021 games. Now it's a new year, new games. Let's talk about some of the games that are like highly anticipated for the next year.
Mm-hmm.
Are your headphones plugged in?
Yeah.
I'm hearing a lot of background noise, but.
Really?
Is your heater on?
Nothing's on.
Weird.
Does it better now?
Yeah, actually.
Uh-oh. Was it good when I was talking previously?
Yeah, I just when I was talking, it sounded like I hear like a buzzing noise.
Okay. Oh, well, I'll put my mic closer to my vocal area. So I hope that's out of it. Does it sound better now?
Yeah.
Cool. And I will just do this.
We're keeping it in the episode.
As we say, we do this live. So here we go.
It's a live podcast and we live edit and everything gets easier for me in the end. So,
yep.
2021, brand new year. We got a couple games that are on the highly anticipated list. We've taken a look at a list from, what was it, Polygon?
Yes, sir.
So huge shout out to everybody over at Polygon for putting this wonderful list together.
Mm-hmm.
And there are a few games that I'm looking forward to and some of them that it's not my cup of tea.
Sure.
So based on this, I will just run through some of the games that I, you know, jotted down and kind of just briefly talk about them. So some of the games that I'm kind of like, I'll play it maybe, I'll try it out. Is the new Pokemon Snap. They talked about that briefly in there too. I only want to play this for like nostalgic purposes. I don't think I would really, you know, give this the full 100%, but
mm-hmm.
It sounds like it could be fun. Breath of the Wild 2, just because it's one of Nintendo's only games on this list that I've seen. So I can't do Nintendo dirty like that, but, you know, maybe I'll get into it. You know, Hyrule Warriors is, like, the latest, and, you know, maybe they're going to try to ride the wave, you know? Maybe. But I'm sure you're going to talk about this, too. I don't know if this is on your list. Is it? Is it not? Or
we'll find out. We'll tease. We'll tease in 3 or 4 minutes. You'll find out my answer.
Maybe, like, 30 seconds, because I'm going to go through this pretty quickly.
Okay, then.
Gran Turismo 7, I want to play it for some reason. There's something about me in playing Gran Turismo. It's hitting a nerve, and it's like, I would enjoy this. But yeah, like I said, that's probably like one or two races that I'm not going to try to upgrade my stuff. Or I don't even know what the game process is like in that. So, but I would enjoy a couple races here and there. Gotham Knights, DC announced that. So I'm pretty hyped to see what this is all about, but again, I'm Marvel through and through, so I don't know how well DC is going to get my attention. And Far Cry 6, kind of just going off of, you know, continuing the series, and maybe it could be cool. But now, here are my four games that I would really want to play. We're going to start off with Halo Infinite. Have to. Xbox ride or die over here, buddy boy. So I am super hyped for Halo. Obviously, I need to get a Series X first, which is still a nightmare, but hopefully I'll get one by November, so then I'll be able to play Halo. But super hyped for Halo. I'm kind of bummed that it didn't release with the console, but obviously everybody wants to fix their games, and hopefully they don't pull a Cyberpunk, you know? I have Horizon Forbidden West just because the game looks beautiful. When they showed some of the trailer for that, that looks awesome. I would definitely play that. Ratchet and Clank Rift Apart. I saw some of the gameplay recently, and something about it just looks like a lot of fun. So I'm all about that. And probably one of the games that I'm super hyped about, like super hyped about, is the new God of War game, Ragnarok. So knowing that they have the capabilities of the PS5, this game could potentially be like a movie. So I'm super hyped about that one, and hopefully we get like a trailer or some gameplay soon for that. So that is my list, sir.
Very good.
What you got?
To answer your first question, yes, I am definitely hyped for Breath of the Wild too. Yeah, no doubt about that. Breath of the Wild 1 was one of my favorite games. Put in a solid 75 hours into it, which is probably the most hours I put into a video game since I was knee-high to a duck. So I'm very excited to get into Breath of the Wild 2.
That, you know what, man? Like, I've never heard that, and I like that a lot. That's good. That's a good
shout one. Shout out to the movie Fool Hall Junkies. That's where it's from. My first game of note is coming out within the next 5 weeks. It's just a port of Super Mario 3D World, which was a game that came out for the Wii U, which nobody really played because nobody bought the Wii U. But what makes this a little bit more interesting than just a straight port of a game that you could have played 5 years ago is the DLC, the kind of the expansion of Bowser's Fury. I'm kind of intrigued what Nintendo could do with that. I'm hoping for kind of like an interesting spin on the Bowser story saga. So that could be interesting if they do a good job with Bowser's Fury. I'm intrigued what they could do because they have meant to zilt nada into what's the story. Is the gameplay different? Do you actually play as Mario? Do you actually play as Bowser? Do you play as Princess Peach? Who knows? We have zero knowledge of what this could be, but which leads to a lot of fun speculation on our part. So I'm excited to see what that will be. But now on to the Polygon list and games that they mentioned that I want to co-sign with. The first one is an indie game called 12 Minutes. This is the little tag. A man opens his front door to find a cop. The cop beats the man to death and then accuses the man's wife of murder. You have to rewind to the moment before the man opens the door and replay the scenario over and over again. So this is a Groundhog Day style game where you have to figure out why you're in that particular situation. So that seems like an interesting twist on a video game. And it's made by the good people at Annapurna, who made one of my favorite games, The Remains of Edith Finch. So it's kind of, it had a cool take on the kind of point-and-click adventure game. And that game is coming out to the consoles, and it's coming out to the major consoles, PlayStation, Xbox, but also be out for PC. Another game of notes I want to play because it's coming to the Switch, and it is a game made by we do a live podcast. Yes, we do. We do a live podcast. How about you? I will get to that game because it's not, I will get to another game while I find this other game. It's a game for Ubisoft called Riders Republic. It is kind of to me, looks like a spiritual successor to SXS. But if you didn't want to ride a skateboard, you could ride a bike, you could ride a mountain bike, you could ride a jetpack, you could ride skis. So you're climbing down this mountain by any means necessary, using a variety of extreme sports equipment. So from mountain bikes to snowboards to wing scoots to skis, it seemed really cool. It looks like a cool take on the kind of extreme action sports, kind of snowboarding SSX style game. Another game I'm really excited to play is called Solar Ass. It is from the creator of Hyper Light Drifter, which is one of my favorite games I've played in the last couple of years. So I'm always excited to what they could do with their new game. This game isn't listed. Oh, and another game of note I want to mention is not even a game, but it looks kind of interesting. And depending on how much this cost. Oh, it's cost $150. Never mind. I was going to talk about something. If you scroll down to this list, Josh, have you seen the picture for this thing called the Playdate?
The Playdate. I saw that, and I didn't even know what it was.
Which is like this like little mini handheld thing.
Yeah.
It's like a Game Boy with, it's black and white screen, two buttons, and a D-pad and a crank. and it comes to 12 built-in games. I was saying I was intrigued by this, but then when I saw it for $150, like, bruh, you got to be serious with that. $150 for 12 games, and it's possible after 5-10 minutes, after 10 minutes, I'm going to be sick of all these games. That was one. If that was a $99 special, that might have got a shout out. But at $150, that's not gonna do it, my guy.
And like I said earlier, if we can, you know, just I'm not gonna dance around it. That looks fucking stupid.
Like if it was reasonably priced, I could have gave it a nod of entry because it's kind of unique and interesting. But for $150,
Dude, that looks like the size of like a debit card. Like for $150, 12 built-in games. I'm sure you could get like a Raspberry Pi and do your own thing with that. But like
100%,
just based off of looks, and I'm sure they're trying really hard to create a product that everybody wants. But like,
yeah,
dude, what the hell is that? The thing is, first of all, it's super small.
Yeah,
the screen's super small.
True.
I've got fat fingers, so I feel like I have no room to do anything. It looks like they tried to advance like a Game Boy, but it's not that. Okay, so what does it say? Game Boy system, black and white screen too. Trash.
Yeah.
No way. There's a first season to it. Additional software from indie developers.
So you will get more than 12 games at some point. I guess that's all right. If those games are free, maybe. They tell me it's like you buy it for $150 and you get these free games for like a year or two. That helps out a bit.
This seems like a scam, and I feel like there's something else to it. It's like, yeah, you'll get the 12 free games, but the season two is going to be an extra $50 or like $60 for four more games or something. And like I said, if you're – okay – if it's 2021, dude, if you're making anything with that size of screen, don't even fucking make it. We have screens that are like massive these days, or even like our standard of screen size is your phone screen. This looks like a child's play. Like, and it looks like the guy who's playing it is a little older because he's got gray hair. So it's like... What is this? I don't know what this is trying to do, and I don't even know how powerful this is. So it's like gonna just be another side scrolling. Like it looks like a half-assed Mario game that he's playing on this picture. But I mean, I'll try to share it or I'll try to put it on the video. But dude, come on, man! Like I'm not with this at all. Like this, if this was like a GoFundMe or they're starting it. I don't even know why this is on this list. Like I said, I said the good folks at Polygon, we're going to take it a little bit back. Not all the great folks at Polygon, because whoever suggested this is like either has like money invested in Playdate or it's like some of their like sister things they're trying to get off the ground. But this looks dumb. There you go. Fresh rant 2021. We're starting off on a hot streak. A spicy take on this stupid looking play date with, oh my God. You know what bullshit that could be too, man? I'm sorry. Sure. This just like came to mind. This feels like one of the things that like if you put it next to your cell phone in your pocket, it would fry itself because of some cell phone thing. And it's like not even fucking worth it.
Well, let's go to a game I think we're both. let's go to a game that I think we're both going to be
Clip
into.
It.
Flip it. You're going to be into this game. It's called Skatebird. We heard about this game, I think, last year. It still was in development. It's supposed to come out this year. It's Tony Hawk with the bird, Skatebird. It's coming to the Switch, which I'm excited about because I'm a Switch owner. So Skatebird coming out 2021. The first real good skateboarding game coming to the Switch, Skatebird. Check it out when it comes out.
Yeah, definitely.
I'm excited about that.
This game looks fun enough to play over and over again, just because it's kind of ridiculous.
Uh-huh.
But I mean, the Untitled Goose Game did numbers too, so I'm sure this is kind of like a similar thing. It's like, yeah, we'll put a bird on a skateboard. Why not? I'll do the demo with it. You know what I mean? Because like again, like if you're playing like Gran Turismo, like it's not gonna have a lot of staying power. You know what I mean? Well, for me personally, like Skatebird. It's going to be like another Tony Hawk. So it's like, and if you listen to our KDR, you know that I'm a skate dude instead of a Tony Hawk guy. So
that's true.
This is a demo for me.
And the last, you have something?
Go for it.
And my last game, you have to check this one out. It's called Tuche, T-U-N-C-H-E. It's coming out in March. It is a beautifully hand-drawn game. Tuche is a hack-and-slash roguelice through the Amazon Juggle as four-player co-op. Choose between one of five characters, master their skills, and master their skill set, and the ultimate abilities to defeat epic bosses and unravel the secrets of the mysterious Amazon jungle. And this game looks really, really good. This game looks like a straight up cartoon come to life.
Cool, man.
Were you able to get a little gameplay footage? Are you able to bring up the video there, Josh? So you know what I'm talking about there, friend?
I was checking out this other one that I think I snoozed on, which I was going to bring up last, but what's it called?
Tuche? Let me share the video into our link and we'll
Can I get the origin of the word?
unknown, John.
There you go.
That's a good one. We got a lot of clips for this episode.
There
man.
We go. Hey, man, we're coming in hot, you know? 2020.
This is a banger of an episode so far.
I got plenty of things.
Wow.
Is it on the Polygon list or no?
It's on the Polygon list for, like, indie games to look forward to. Why don't you tell me about the game that you forgot about, and I will give you this link so we could you know, discuss.
Chit-chat about it. Okay, so the other game that I just saw on this list that I totally forgot about that I was super interested in when I think it was the Video Game Awards, it was a game called Scorn.
Yeah.
It's like this, like, horror-styled, like, first-person shooter, what it looks like. And it looks like this might be a little weird, but it seems like a little more polished Doom to me. Like, I'm watching some of the gameplay right now, and it looks like you're in the depths of hell, and like, I guess it looks like a more calm. That's that alien's nutsack. Wow. It looks like a more calmed down version of Doom, but a little more like hell like, where like the guns are even made out of bones and shit. But
wild.
It looks interesting, but then again, I also thought Remnant looked interesting too, and that game fucking sucked. So we'll see what happens. But this looks pretty nuts. It was like a kind of like a horror, and I think the trailer was like that girl just like standing in like a cocoon or whatever, and really wild take that I'm doing right now. But that's just how it goes, man. And it was something that I was confused about at first, but then I was like, I'm going to play it. So let me get a little more details about it. It's a first-person horror game, 60 frames, blah, 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 and that doesn't really say shit on there anyway. But it looks cool, and I guess that's where I'm going to end it because I've got nothing else to say about it besides it looks cool. So Mikey B shared something in the chat. All right, let me check this out.
Yes, I did. I think you might dig this because you've been playing Hades, which is a roguelike, and this is a roguelike, and you like beat 'em ups. So it's a beat 'em up roguelike. It's four players, so we finally could jump on a game and play a little co-op.
Down.
So yeah, and the art style is pretty cool, and the music is super loud, so yeah. Lower the volume on your computer.
The Explorer dude, what?
Nah, give it a look, man. Let's see the gameplay a little bit. It gets off to a bad start. You gotta like roll into like at least within like the first 20 or so seconds, and then the game starts to open up a little bit gameplay wise.
I fucking love side scrolling games like this, man. Beat 'em ups are dope.
Yeah,
this looks cool, man.
Yeah,
it's coming out. Dig it.
It's coming out soon. It's coming out in March. So something to look forward to.
Dang, I could dig that. Go ahead.
Oh no, it's coming out for Switch and then PC, and you bought yourself a nice powerful PC laptop, so you can play it on the laptop or the Switch.
I have been thinking about that as of late. Is this going to be cross platform too?
That would be dope. Unsure. That would be really cool. If I could play on my Switch and you could play on your Xbox, that would be nice.
That'd be tight.
Ooh, that'd be cool.
That would be really dope. What were you going to say?
One little impromptu topic. What's your 2021 gaming wish?
My wish is to get a Series X. That's what I want.
Is there a game
you... Is that what you're, like, referring to? Or, like, something? Am I looking for, like, a game to drop that...
Yeah, we could go... I like either way. I like your wish of that way or a game that you want to drop. Like, a game, like, a series that hasn't been around for a while and you'd love a new one in that series.
So, this kind of is on the list, too, but I don't know if the game is going to be kind of like that. But that Lord of the Rings Gollum game...
Yeah.
I don't know if that's going to be, like, the early 2000s Lord of the Ring game for... PlayStation. I would love that because it was like Lord of the Rings meets Dynasty Warriors and it was awesome. I remember playing that at my cousin's house and it was fucking dope. But I would love to see like that come back, like that style of Lord of the Rings game. But I want, and it would be a dream come true, is if Mario hit the links one more time in the Nintendo Switch, and I would be extremely happy. Because I tried playing the NES golf game and...
It's hard, man.
Yeah, I was going to say, either I fucking suck at that game or it's made like it's impossible. Like,
it's real, real hard. I tried to get into it. I gave it like a good hour or two into it. I really tried. This game is hard.
Yeah, and the U.S. course, I think I had like a plus 34 before I even made it to like 150 yards to the first hole, you know? It was tough, man. But I would love to see Mario hit the links. Or I would love to see Mario put on some shin pads and hit the soccer field, bro.
Nice. That would be nice.
I'm very hopeful for, like, these style of games just because, like, we had, you know, Mario Aces come out and Mario had a pretty good, like, I guess, quote-unquote, athletic year the past couple of years. You know, he had Aces and, you know, he had other, like, Mario Party stuff. And, you know, I'm hopeful... with this remake train, at least remake Mario Golf for the 64. Remake that, and I'll be extremely happy for that.
That would be great.
Yeah, what about you?
I would like to see Metro Prime 4 come out, which is a game that's been teased for, like, I think it got teased with, like, a single title trailer, and that's about it. That was 3 years ago. We have been nothing since then. That would be ideal. Beyond Metro Prime 4, what would I like? You know, a game I would really like to see. It was for the Wii. I actually never played these games, but I thought it was kind of interesting that Nintendo kind of got into the genre. It was Red Steel 1 and 2. Red Steel 1 was like for the Wii. It was like a martial arts, like first person perspective game. And then the second one is like a spaghetti western game came out and it was like, it was Nintendo's attempt of trying to make like a first person shooter.
Mm.
Like, obviously I'm not a like huge fan of shooters, but obviously like the number one genre in the world. So it'll be interesting to see if they ever revise that franchise or try to, or get into a genre that is like non-Nintendo.
Or a game like, that looks super outrageous.
Yeah, like a not like yeah, like I want like something like, kind of like weird. Like Nintendo do something weird and outrageous, even if it like fails. I was like, I'd be interested if Nintendo could still like wave that like flag of being like, here's something, like here's a genre that people you would never think that we would get into and like put that Mario spin on.
What is so interesting?
I mean, Nintendo spin on.
Yeah, what is so interesting? Well, with that being said, maybe like a Mario Rabbids too, because I.
Oh man, that would be a one. That would be a winner.
Dope.
Yeah,
but you know what's so interesting? And like, it just hit me right now that we have like the options to have any game, any franchise come back, but you and I both stuck to Nintendo and bringing Mario back into the, you know, the spotlight. Which I just think is super interesting because, like, we have, like, Halo, you know, anything for the Xbox, anything for the PlayStation. Like, Xbox, you could do a whole new Dante's Inferno, which I would play. And you and I first just went to Mario. I wonder why. I wonder if that's just, like, something that, like, we're expecting so much out of it or we're just looking for some nostalgic, you know, like, something just to fill the void of what we want Mario for. But even though Mario has, like, 100 games out. You know, it was just really interesting that, you know, that's just where my mind went right now was like, yeah, you could do anything, but Mario is our go-to guy. The Nintendo Switch is the go-to, you know what I mean? Like,
I think it's just Nintendo is our go-to system. So like, if they could bring back like a new Zelda, a new, like, there's only like a new Pokemon game, a new Metro game, a new Mario game. Like, I think Nintendo's just been such a part of our life, our childhood, our adulthood, our teenage years, that there's such a back catalog of nostalgia, that there's like franchises that we haven't seen since the 64 GameCube days that we'd love to bring back, that Nintendo like once made. Because like Mario Strikers was like a GameCube game, and GameCube's been a super long time since then. It'd be awesome to bring them back. Mario Golf, same thing. Toadstool Tour has come back since then.
Was that for the GameCube?
Yep.
I'm finding a GameCube.
So yeah, games.
But still, even like if they're on this like this roll of like trying to bring stuff back, they have so. I feel like Nintendo has so much to bring back that mm-hmm. it doesn't have to make a new game for years. You could bring Banjo-Kazooie back. You could bring, you know. Of course, I say there's a bunch of people and I forget. Like Metroid, you have, you know. Mm-hmm. They could also bring back Arthur since they've used him for like Smash Bros. And make like another, was it Ghouls and Goblins or whatever?
Ghosts and Goblins.
You could bring that back. You know what I mean?
Speaking of Banjo-Kazooie, there's been a rumor that Rare Replay is coming to the Switch. Which has Banjo-Kazooie 1 and 2 and Perfect Dark and a bunch of those Rare games that a lot of people are, a lot in Blast Corps and a lot of Rare games that we're all nostalgic for during that. Like
Conker's Bad Fur Day in there. If not,
they also have Conker's Bad. They also have Conker's Bad Fur Day in there too.
There you go. Sold.
There you go. Yeah. So that's interesting. I wonder if that's just Nintendo and Microsoft being nice again, or does that hint at a revival of one of those classic franchises?
I feel like that rumor's been going around for so long now, and like,
true.
I would love a new Banjo game. That would be cool. That would be really cool. Especially because like, you can kind of do like an Odyssey-style game with Banjo, and it would still be awesome. Or obviously like my guy Buck Bumble Dude.
That'd be cool.
That'd be dope. But I think nobody knew about him, so they kind of said, fuck it. But what I would love for 2021, here's a quick another hot take for you. I want Super Smash Bros. To not bring back any more motherfucking swordsmen into the goddamn game. Stop it. It's so stupid. I'm so sick of seeing another character come in with a sword from some fucking game that, you know, not a lot of people have played or whatever. Or it's just, it's not fun anymore. And like, if you look at the Smash Bros. Roster, it's like everyone's got a sword. How fun is that these days, you know? You have like six Links, four different people from like Fire Emblem with the sword too, and now you have like more characters from Final Fantasy with swords, and it's like, dude, they're gonna bring this guy from Red Steel back with the sword in the game too next. Watch. So it's like, I'm sick of it, man. Like I wanna go back and play some Smash Bros, but then like it's not appealing to me anymore. And it's like, the game is fun, and like one of my friends is so super into it, and they're like, yeah, come play, and it's just like, I just don't want to. So don't bring back any swordsmen and just try to make it fun again or do something different for 2021. It's a hot take, and that's on you, Smash Bros. And Nintendo. Listen to the Gaming Council podcast and try to take my advice. No more swordsmen. All right, that's it. That's all I got. Ah, man. But
that's a wrap of that's a great that's a good way to end our episode there.
It's great. Well, we gotta try to, you know, do you have anything else as far as
I don't think I could top your passionate speech at the end of that.
First
I think
Smash that's Bros. But all right, well, that's the episode. Happy New Year to everybody. And the Gaming Council will be back for another episode next week. Thanks for listening to this week's episode of the Gaming Council podcast. Now, if you're not with us on the social game, you're really missing out. On Instagram, follow us at the Gaming Council Podcast. Facebook is the Gaming Council Podcast. Also, follow us on Twitter. We're the Council Boys on Twitter, so hit us up, tweet us. Everything podcast-related, episode-wise, go to gamingcouncilpod.com.
The Council Boys in the building tonight. Oh, what a feeling. I'm feeling life.
Council Boys are out.